CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals. Whether you own or run a business or would like to start one, this is the place for all the answers. Now, here's your host, Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind. Welcome to my show this week. If you want to get to me, it's really easy. Just Google CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings going back years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. You can even take a look at some of the job openings that we might have in the United States and once in a while even outside. If you're interested in my political ramblings, and they are ramblings, you can go to nationalfreedomforum.com. Same process. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you'll get my daily blog postings on what's going on in politics around the world. If you want to know more about Paragon Home Resources, one of the biggest businesses that we're in, growing business, just go to ParagonHomeResources.com. Again, look for the line that says blog. In this case, click on it. When you get to it, you'll see the same process. Sign up with your email. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you'll get my home-related blog postings. And that I do every day as well. If you've missed any of my shows, just go to TalkZone.com. And all of my podcasts are hung there. And you can catch up on any weeks that you might have missed. If you feel free, you know, if you're really interested in doing that. We always start the show with seeing the train coming. And I have to tell you, I'm really concerned about the dangers of a weak America. You know, this is a business show, but unfortunately, what happens in Washington does not stay in Washington. And it not only impacts us personally, you know, and it does, but it certainly impacts us from a business perspective. And, you know, I have grown up really with the United States being the predominant global power in the world. Superpower in the world. And even when, you know, we were dealing with the Soviet Union years ago, which I visited in 1974, there is no way that they could rival our country, because though they were militarily strong, their economy even today is very weak. And, you know, they just didn't have the economic power that we did all along. And of course, China today is very strong, and they're both a military and an economic threat that we need to be concerned about. But I think, you know, in watching the disaster in Afghanistan and trying to understand what the implications of the incredible mistakes that Joe Biden has made in attempting to pull our troops out of Afghanistan, I have no problem with ending our involvement in Afghanistan. It really should have happened 10 or 11 years ago, right after, you know, we finally got bin Laden. And so the notion that we've spent more than $2 trillion, that more than 2,500 of our soldiers have been killed, 20,000 wounded, 3,000 contractors killed in Afghanistan, primarily American and Western European, 1,000 of our allies killed in Afghanistan in the last 20 years, the notion that we're handing the keys to the Taliban, that we originally went to Afghanistan because they had harbored Al-Qaeda. You know, I was in New York City or right around there when 9/11 occurred. And I remember those events vividly. It took me 3 weeks to get back. And that time we were living in California, 3 weeks to get back to my home in California. For those of you that are too young to remember or weren't around because you weren't even born, that are my listeners, but most of my listeners, I'm sure, were around. And I have to tell you, that day, that September 11th, was changed the whole world. It just changed the whole world. From that point on, things were different. It was one of those pivotal moments in history, or at least American, really world history, pivotal moments in history that has changed everything, if you really think about it. And so we have spent the last 20 years fighting terrorism around the world, and it's metastasized in many countries, and we've had to deal with terrorists in many countries. Obviously, we're in the Middle East. There are implications in terms of oil in the Middle East, especially now since Joe Biden has moved us away from being energy independent to being energy dependent again. So now we have to worry about oil coming out of the Middle East. You know, one thing, whether you like President Trump or not, for the first time in forever, we were energy independent when Trump was president. Gasoline was $1.85 a gallon. It's now up to close to $5 a gallon in some places, and I think it'll go over $5 a gallon probably by the end of this year. So, you know, when I see what's going on, and again, whether you like Joe Biden or you don't like Joe Biden, folks, I lived through Jimmy Carter. I can't do that again. I just can't do that again. The hostage situation, having to wait in lines to buy gas. My wife and I used to have to trade license plates because in those days we were living in Los Angeles, about 40 miles out of town, and we would both have to drive into the city 40 miles, you know, basically to go to work. And so we would literally have to trade license plates every other day because we couldn't chance not having a full tank of gas. And you would wait in line for hours sometimes to buy gas. It was a nightmare. It was just a nightmare. And so, you know, when I look at some of the things that Joe Biden is doing as president, I have a deja vu moment. And it brings me back to Jimmy Carter and just horrible, horrible times. And, you know, Jimmy Carter was a very nice man and actually did great work with Habitat for Humanity. But he was an incompetent president, absolutely incompetent. And sadly, I think we're seeing some of the same things with Joe Biden. Now, I believe Biden has early onset dementia, so he may have an excuse. I don't know. But the people around him are not giving him good advice. This fiasco in Afghanistan, and it is a fiasco in terms of the way it's been managed. And the notion that he was going to pull out, and the Taliban has given us a deadline of August 31st. We have to be done by August 31st with these airlifts of people. And we're bringing out thousands of people every day. And, of course, hopefully they'll get all Americans out by August 31st. However, we've committed to bring Afghani folks out that worked with us in the last 20 years because they will be killed. They will be murdered by the Taliban. Women in Afghanistan under the Taliban, they're not going to have any rights. They want to go back to the 14th century and Sharia law, the Taliban. And under Sharia law, women might as well be slaves because they have no rights under Sharia law. All a man has to do under Sharia law is to say, I divorce you three times, and it's done. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. They believe in polygamy. They can have multiple wives, and many of them do. They take young girls as young as 11 years old, and they make them wives to the soldiers of the Taliban. So, you know, we have a major, major disaster in Afghanistan, and I don't even think we've begun to understand what the implications are going to be. This is worse than when we pulled out of Vietnam and we had the helicopters, you know, on the embassy in Vietnam with folks leaving. We had the boat people from Vietnam, and many of them came to the United States ultimately. Well, Afghanistan is not surrounded by the ocean, so I don't think we're going to have any boat people anytime soon, unless they're going through Pakistan or some other country, Iran maybe. But, you know, this is the worst disaster from a historical point of view for the American people and for the United States, probably in my lifetime. In my lifetime, I don't think I've seen anything as bad as what's going on in Afghanistan. And unfortunately, it's damaged relations with our allies because Biden really didn't keep them plugged into what was going on until just recently. I just fear that the Chinese, the Russians, the Iranians, maybe the North Koreans will do something stupid because they know that Joe Biden is weak and feeble. And, you know, the Chinese really want to take over Taiwan. The North Koreans, who knows? They could invade South Korea. That would be an incredible disaster. The Iranians are definitely going to continue building nuclear weapons, which eventually is going to force the Israelis and the Saudis to respond and probably attack Iran. And so we only win when we operate under peace through strength. We cannot win as a country, and really for the whole world, if the United States is weak. And folks, the implications for each of us personally, the implications from a business perspective, when the United States is weak is huge. And, you know, the Democrats want to spend God knows how many trillions of dollars. We already see incredible inflation occurring in our country because of what they're doing. I mean, have you been to the grocery store lately in terms of the price of food? The price of gas we know is going through the roof. The price of energy is going through the roof. And folks, energy figures into the cost of everything. Everything we do, everything we make, everything we eat requires some sort of energy production. And I don't care about electric cars, which, by the way, I have some misgivings about anyway. You know, I was comparing the cost of a hybrid with the cost of a regular engine gas-powered car, gasoline-powered car. They're $3,000 to $5,000 more for a hybrid. An electric car is even more than that. You'll never get the return on that investment, even if gas goes to $5 a gallon, because the batteries eventually have to be replaced, and they're $3,000 to $5,000. So, you know, I just wonder where we're going with all of this. And, you know, the first 6 or 7 months of Biden's presidency have been a disaster for our country. I can't think of one success that this president has achieved in the first 6 or 7 months. It's bad, folks. We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Are you caring for an older person or a loved one who needs assistance? Paragon Home Resources can help you maintain their independent living for as long as possible anywhere in the United States. We offer property management services to deal with all facets of maintaining the current home. We can also assist with obtaining a reverse mortgage to free up home equity to pay for home care and other needs. And should your loved one require assisted living or a move in with a family member, we can handle the details of selling the home for the best possible price. Paragon Home Resources can assist with helping you sort belongings to determine which will be kept and those that require an estate sale or donation to charity. Your Paragon Home Resources coordinator will be accessible through a convenient toll-free number. As part of our service, you'll get a needs assessment to determine the services that are necessary. Caring for a loved one doesn't have to be stressful. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at paragonhomeresources.com.
Now, back to CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the second segment of our show today. Folks, again, this is a business show, and everything I talk about has implications for business, taxes, and the American people. The border with Mexico has completely collapsed. It's collapsed. And so we have an invasion of illegal aliens. On a daily basis, thousands are coming into our country. And by the way, they're not just coming from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and even Mexico. They are coming from all over the world through Mexico to come across our border. We don't know who's entering our country. There's a huge outbreak of COVID. Many of these people coming over the border have COVID. They're being distributed all over the country because the holding camps that we have in Texas can't hold them, or in Arizona, there are just not enough beds. And so they're having to give them bus tickets or airplane tickets. And we don't even know what communities they're coming to. The federal government, it's not like they're calling the governors up or calling the mayors up and telling them, we're sending you 5,000 people. They're just dropping them off. And so, you know, they're Catholic Charities and other, you know, charities, I guess, are working with these people, working with the government. And just to be clear here, the government is giving Catholic Charities billions of dollars a year to take care of these people. And in some respects, it's replacing the contributions that the Catholic Church typically gets from conservative Catholics who have left the Catholic Church because of Pope Francis, who is a socialist or a communist. That's another story. But anyways, as a Catholic, I get to throw those stones, okay? But in any case, the border is, it's collapsed. We have no control of our border. The Border Patrol, their morale is in the toilet. You know, they can't handle it. It's overwhelming, the people that are coming through. We have drugs that are being smuggled across the border. And by the way, the Chinese are who is producing the fentanyl that's smuggling it through Mexico. They're out to destroy our country, folks. So the Chinese are producing fentanyl. They're They're smuggling it through Mexico with the drug lords. I mean, the drug lords, if they were a corporation, they would be a multi-billion dollar company, because the drug lords are making millions of dollars a day smuggling, human trafficking, and bringing drugs into our country. You know, even if you didn't mind the illegal aliens and the implications of supporting them in our hospitals, in our schools, you know, the implications in terms of our penal system and the crime that sometimes comes with them, not all of them, because most of these people want to come here for jobs. They're very hardworking people. But there is an element that are criminals. Let's face it. There is an element coming into our country that are criminals. And so we've got these people coming into the United States. In terms of the cost implications, I've seen as high as $200 billion a year to support these people. So, you know, they are getting various welfare benefits. They are going into our hospitals. They're certainly going into our schools. And so American taxpayers are paying for all of this. But even if you didn't mind the illegal aliens that are coming into the country, the notion of the drugs that are coming into our country, the drugs that are coming in illegally, people are dying from the fentanyl overdoses that they're getting involved with. This is China out to destroy our country. And the drug lords, of course, they're happy to facilitate, for the money that they're earning, bringing those drugs into the United States. Folks, we have got to secure our border. We have got to put back the policies in place that Trump had put in place, which is, you know, if you're coming into the United States or trying to, and you're seeking asylum, you stay in Mexico until your case comes up. You never cross over the border. You stay in Mexico, and eventually your case will come up. We have to deport these people that are not eligible for asylum, which is a good number of them. As soon as they're captured, they need to be flown right back to the countries they came from, which Trump was doing. You know, Biden, this is just another one of those cases where he's so weak and incompetent. Oh, and we have to finish the border wall, of course. So, you know, aside from the politics of all of this, the cost of all of this to American taxpayers is outrageous. Folks, we have Social Security and Medicare heading toward bankruptcy. The Democrats want to add to Medicare. They want younger people, younger than 65, people to be able to be eligible for Medicare. Well, that's hunky-dory. Medicare is already headed toward bankruptcy. And the real question is, where's the money going to come from to support Social Security and to support Medicare when we've got all of these illegal aliens coming in? I mean, shortly, we're going to have thousands of Afghan refugees coming into our country, maybe 100,000. I don't know what the number is. And certainly, they're going to need some support, at least for some period of time. And so here we go again. The American taxpayer is on the hook. It never ends. You know, the Democrats are bankrupting our country. They're attempting to pass a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, only $500 billion of which is actually infrastructure. The rest is all pork, 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 pork. And then they want to pass another $3.5 trillion swindle us plan. And everything but the kitchen sink is in that deal. Folks, we already have $30 trillion national debt. If the government, and I wouldn't put it past them, took everything from everybody, not just the rich, everything from everybody, every asset that everybody owns, every stock or bond that anybody owns, every piece of property that anybody owns, the national wealth in our country is about $12 trillion. If you took everything, you couldn't pay off the $30 trillion national debt. And at the rate we're going, it will be $35 trillion. We're going to hit the debt ceiling shortly, and they're going to have to increase the debt ceiling. And the Republicans are saying they will not vote to increase it. Now, eventually, they'll have to, because, you know, they can't stand by and see the U.S. economy collapse, because that's what would happen if the debt ceiling isn't increased. They have to keep borrowing money to pay for all these goodies that they want to give away. I mean, the Democrats want free college. They want child care. They want, canceling student loans. They want to take Medicare down to 60, maybe even lower than that. They want to increase, well, Biden just had to increase food stamps, the EBT program, which is food stamps, by 30%, because as a result of his inflation, the money that people were being given on those debit cards just wasn't enough to buy the food that they were buying a year ago. So they just increased the EBT card. We're paying for all of this, folks. We're borrowing money from China and other countries to pay for all of these freebies that are being given. All of this money that was handed out, the extra unemployment insurance that people got, the extra $300 a week in federal coverage that people got, caused them not to go back to work. So in those states where they eliminated the extra $300 a week, their unemployment rate is much lower than the blue states that have not eliminated it. Now, it is going to go away, that extra $300 a week, I think mid-September, maybe the first or second week of September. So hopefully people will go back to work, because there's something like 9 or 10 million job openings in our country right now with people on unemployment. It's just ridiculous. And so why would you continue additional unemployment monies when, in fact, there's plenty of money available, or rather plenty of jobs available for people to take? There's no reason to be paying people unemployment when there's work for them. It's stupid. And so in any case, but that's just money. Billions and billions of dollars have been paid out, you know, relative to COVID. Some of it made sense. The PPP money made sense that went to companies so that they could maybe keep their doors open. Some of the SBA loans, and I have to tell you, I've dealt with the SBA, and it's a difficult nightmare to get through their bureaucratic morass. Very, very difficult. Now, in fairness to them, they've been hiring people like crazy, but it's still not enough. You can't get to a manager. It's really a problem dealing with the SBA. That program is just not functioning very well. The PPP program, which was the money that was given to businesses, that filtered through banks. So that program worked very well. Within 3 to 4 weeks, companies, businesses got the money. But the SBA program, months and months and months and months go by, and you still don't hear anything. And then, you know, you either get it or you don't get it, or they make some stupid mistake and you don't get it. And it's a nightmare. But in any case, you know, the open border that we're talking about here, it's a disaster for our country, folks. And in the $3.5 trillion swindless plan that the Democrats are proposing, they also have in that plan legalization of 11 million illegal aliens in our country. And as soon as they're legal, they get a green card, then they're eligible for all of our welfare systems, welfare programs, EBT money. They can get everything once they get a green card. So if you legalize 11 million illegal aliens, all of a sudden, many of them, not all of them, some of them are very hardworking. Don't misunderstand me. But some of them will just go on the dole. You know, why not? No different than other Americans that are on the dole. By the way, folks, this is kind of interesting. There are far more white Americans on EBT food stamps than there are blacks, far more in real numbers. So anybody who thinks that welfare is all about blacks, that's just not true. There are far more whites on EBT food stamps and welfare, I might add, than there are blacks in real numbers. Now, there's a high percentage of blacks that are getting those programs, a higher percentage than of whites, but in real numbers, there are more whites on these government dole programs than there are blacks. So people talk about income inequality and they talk about all these things. We have a lot of poor people in our country who are white, not just minorities. And so that's a whole different problem. But, you know, we've got to get our border under control. We can't continue. We'll take a quick time out and be back for more CEO Business Mind.
Are you planning to move? Paragon Home Resources can help you sell or buy a home anywhere in the United States. We provide a home resources coordinator to manage all aspects of your move. We recommend qualified real estate agents and other services to prepare your home for sale. Best of all, if you sell or buy a home with our assistance, you could be eligible to receive a tax-free real estate commission cash reward. We can also help you obtain a mortgage at competitive interest rates. Our lenders offer fixed and adjustable rates, conforming and non-conforming loans, plus FHA and VA financing. We can also assist first-time buyers with as little as 5% down. And when it comes time to move, we can refer you to qualified movers or other companies to assist with self-moves. Paragon Home Resources helps make moving as easy as possible. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.
Whether you're thinking of starting a business or just moving up the corporate ladder, this is the place for practical advice. CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind for the second half of my show. If you want to get to me, it's really easy. Just go to CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings that are informational, going back several years. You can see some of the businesses that we're in. You can even check out some of the job openings that we may have in the United States and once in a while even outside. If you're interested in my political ramblings, you can go to nationalfreedomforum.com. Again, look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you'll get my political blog postings every day. If you want to know more about Paragon Home Resources, one of our growing businesses, just go to ParagonHomeResources.com. Look for the line that says blog. Click on it. Go ahead and put in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And again, there, you'll get my home-related blog postings every day. If you've missed any of my shows and you just can't stand not hearing my pearls of wisdom or wisdom of pearls of wisdom, just go to TalkZone.com. And you'll see all of my podcasts hung there, and you can go back as far as you like, and we will see if you hear something there that you really like. Okay, so we're going to go on to the next topic, and I want to talk about the government eviction moratorium. It's just a disaster for landlords. You know, in one of the COVID plans, there was $47 billion that was supposed to be used for rental assistance, for presumably for tenants who couldn't pay rent. Well, those monies supposedly flowed through the states. And to date, of the $47 billion, only $3 billion has actually made its way to tenants. But the problem is, because there was an eviction moratorium, and I think Biden extended it, it keeps going back and forth in the courts, I think it's still on, tenants would get the money, but then they wouldn't pay the rent to the landlord. And so the monies weren't going directly to the landlords. They were going to the tenants, but because the tenants couldn't be evicted, they kept the money. So now the landlords, presumably, and it's important to recognize, 53% of rental units in the United States, 1 to 4, single family to 4-unit rental properties, are owned by mom and pop investors. They're not all these mammoth apartment buildings that we see all over the place. And so you have these mom-and-pop investors who have bought rental property maybe over the years, factoring it into their retirement income because, you know, they wanted some income from these rental properties. And now, for the past year or more, they have not been paid any rent by many people. And so at the end of the day, they're making their mortgage payments. They're paying for their insurance. They're paying sometimes utilities, they're paying repairs and maintenance, gardening, whatever it is, and they have no rent from many of their tenants. And so here's another, I guess, government program that was supposed to mean well and was supposed to help that actually has made matters worse because they tacked on this eviction moratorium. And so since the landlords could not evict the tenants that weren't paying rents, and I'm not being heartless here. I'm just saying what it is. The tenants were able to get rental assistance, assuming they applied for it, but then they didn't pay it to the landlords. And so where this program obviously went wrong, pretty obvious, was that the money should have gone directly to the landlords who were not collecting any rent from the tenants that weren't paying the rent. It should never have gone to the tenants because once it went to the tenants, there was no guarantee that it was going to be paid to the landlords. So what's happened? Many of these landlords, if they could, some of them refinance their mortgages to maybe take some money out to help support the payments for a short period of time, a year or more. Some of them have been forced to sell their rental properties to all cash investors, which there are those people in the marketplace. Sometimes, you know, not at the best price, although right now the market's pretty hot, so hopefully if they did have to sell, they got a pretty good price for their rental homes. because they just couldn't afford to float it anymore. They didn't have the deep enough pockets. Remember, these are mom and pop investors. They didn't have thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, in many cases, just sitting in a bank, you know, there to make payments that when they weren't collecting rent. You know, when you own a rental property, and I've had rental properties over the years, it's money in, money out. The money comes in rent, the money goes out in whatever expenses you have to pay. And if you're lucky, there's a little bit left over, you know, relative to maybe some income that you're generating from that rental property. So here's another government program gone bad. It drives me crazy, folks. In this case, $47 billion was allocated. Only $3 billion has actually gone out because of the bureaucratic nightmare of dealing with the states or dealing with the federal government and getting the money out the door. But at the end of the day, it's not the tenant who suffers. It's the landlord who suffers. And so these mom and pop investors that own 53% of the 1-4 unit rentals in our country, they're stuck holding the bag. And many of them, some of them are filing bankruptcy because they don't have any choice. You know, this is a nightmare. And this is, you know, I always think back to Ronald Reagan's statement that government is not the solution, government is the problem. This is one of those cases where a program that meant well failed. The same thing is true with the SBA Economic Disaster Loan Program. It means well. You're able to get up to $500,000, you know, if you can ever talk to anybody at the SBA and if they can ever get anything done. It takes them 4 months just to send you a letter saying that you either got it or you didn't get it. So again, we have government. And for those people who are big government kind of personalities and who believe government is the solution, I'm going to tell you my experience with government. They love taking money from us in taxes, but when it comes time for them to perform in services, not so good. You know, I'm dealing with Social Security right now in terms of my Medicare contributions and trying to get that adjusted. Who knows if I'll ever hear from anybody? I did call, and they said, oh, they're going to call you and set up an appointment. They never did. So finally, I just sent the forms in, and we'll see if I ever hear from anybody. I'll probably get a letter 6 months from now. I wouldn't be surprised. So, you know, when I look at government, in this case, this eviction moratorium, and then, of course, Joe Biden extended it. He made it worse. He extended the moratorium. These landlords are going under. The only threat for the tenant paying rent is that they could be evicted. Well, if that threat doesn't exist, then why would they bother paying rent? Even if they have the money to pay rent, why would they pay rent if they can't be evicted? They know they can't be evicted because there's a moratorium. It stops the landlord from evicting the tenant. And look, I'm not being heartless here, but I'm just saying that the tenant had the ability to seek out rental assistance. Some of them did. But then they didn't pay the landlords. And so now the landlord is stuck with no rent, mortgage payments, insurance payments, utilities, maintenance, gardening, whatever. And they don't have the rent. They don't have the rental assistance that the federal government put in one of the COVID plans, the $1 trillion COVID plans. It just didn't work. The government either couldn't get the money out the door, because only $3 billion went out of $47 billion, or the monies that did go to the tenants weren't paid to the landlords. And so something's got to give here, folks. This is a classic case of government failure. And now it's hurting these mom and pop investors out there who, you know, they have their life savings in a lot of cases in these properties that they bought, thinking that they would be a great investment, you know, for retirement, except that now this comes along. You know, we see the restaurants that have closed. We see the businesses that have had to close because of COVID. Well, if you own rental properties, that's a business for you. And so, but if you're not getting income, you're not getting revenue, you're not getting the rent that you normally would be getting, then obviously you're out of luck because the payments don't go away. Now, unless the lender is going to give you a break and delay payments, I don't know if lenders are working with landlords. I know there was some forbearance happening with individual mortgages that people had. And I think some of the mortgage companies were working with people rather than foreclose on their properties. All that does is extend out the payments further out in terms of paying off the loan, which is at least better than having the property foreclosed. So that's good. I don't know if lenders were doing that with landlords or not, because they would look at landlords like it's a business, and they know that the government presumably is giving money to cover the rent, although it never got to them, so that they should have the money to make the mortgage payment. So many of the mortgage companies may conclude that there's no reason to provide forbearance, it's called forbearance basically, to a landlord's mortgage. So again, this is one more government program that's failed. We see it time and time again. They throw money at something, and the Democrats, oh my God, in this $3.5 trillion swindle-us plan, there is so much money in there, folks. And they don't even talk now in terms of $1 billion or $2 billion. It's $100 billion, $200 billion. And just so you know, $1 billion is $1,000 million. $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. I mean, these numbers are staggering. And since we have to borrow the money, or I guess the Federal Reserve has to print money, and when the Federal Reserve prints money, that's when we get into these high inflationary times. So we really have some issues here, folks. In this case, the government eviction moratorium has been a dismal failure. It's actually hurt landlords dramatically. Some of them have had to file bankruptcy. Some of them have had to sell their properties because they just couldn't hang on any longer. They didn't have the savings to make the payments. We'll take a quick time out and be back for more CEO Business Mind.
Are you caring for an older person or a loved one who needs assistance? Paragon Home Resources can help you maintain their independent living for as long as possible anywhere in the United States. We offer property management services to deal with all facets of maintaining the current home. We can also assist with obtaining a reverse mortgage to free up home equity to pay for home care and other needs. And should your loved one require assisted living or a move in with a family member, we can handle the details of selling the home for the best possible price. Paragon Home Resources can assist with helping you sort belongings to determine which will be kept and those that require an estate sale or donation to charity. Your Paragon Home Resources coordinator will be accessible through a convenient toll-free number. As part of our service, you'll get a needs assessment to determine the services that are necessary. Caring for a loved one doesn't have to be stressful. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270. Or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.
Harnessing the entrepreneurial spirit of America. This is CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the fourth and final segment of my show. And I want to talk about U.S. home prices for a little bit. And clearly, what goes up must come down. Right now, we have an overinflated market. We have houses selling above list price. We have multiple bids. You put your house on the market and you'll have multiple bidders, presumably. And very often you're going to get 10, 15, 20% more than the list price. It's happening all over the country. And the reason it's happening is because we're short 5 million housing units. We have more demand than we have supply. And this is economics 101. And whenever that happens, prices go up. However, and this is where I want to caution buyers out there, I've lived through three real estate cycles, at least three, and I've seen property values fall dramatically. I mean, when we had the 2008-09 financial collapse in Reno, Nevada, where I live, property values fell by 30, 40, 50%. Now, they're way back up again, beyond where they were. But if you happen to have lived in one of those homes and you bought it at the peak of the market, and now all of a sudden it was worth 30, 40, 50% less than what you paid for it, you could very well be what's called upside down. In other words, you could be in a situation where you owe more money on your mortgage than the house is worth. And this could happen again for some people. So, for example, if today you're buying a property at the peak of the market, and you're only putting 10% down, which you could do. You could even put as low as 3% down. And all of a sudden, we have a major downturn. And all of a sudden, properties fall by 10, 15, 20, or more percent. Now, all of a sudden, you could find yourself in a situation where you owe more than the house is worth. Well, that doesn't matter so much if you don't have to sell your house in a downturn. But now all of a sudden, if you have to sell your house in a downturn and you owe more than what the house would sell for, theoretically, you owe the mortgage company that money. So let's assume you have a $200,000 mortgage and the house is now only worth $180,000 and you put 3% down or 5% down. The difference between what the house would sell for and the mortgage amount, you owe to the mortgage company. Now, what can happen, it's called a short sale, where you could go to the mortgage company and maybe, assuming you've eaten up all of your equity, in other words, your money is gone, you lose everything that you had put down, maybe, if you're lucky, the mortgage company will approve a short sale, meaning they'll accept whatever the sale price is on the home, provided you get no equity. You walk away with nothing from the sale, so your equity is completely gone. They may eat some of the mortgage, just not to really to avoid a foreclosure, because they really don't want to have to take that house into inventory, so to speak. And so sometimes, in really bad times, mortgage companies will work with the seller in doing a short sale. The advantage to doing a short sale is it's not a foreclosure. It doesn't show up on your credit, so you don't end up getting a bad credit rating out of it in terms of your credit score, which at all costs you have to protect your credit score if you can. But you know, I'm saying to people today that unless you're in a position to put at least 30% down, you're in a little bit of a risky situation. Now, if you're going to be in your house for sure for 5 years or more, could be okay. But certainly, if you don't think you're going to be in your house for at least 5 years and you're buying at the peak of the market and you're only putting 10% down, that would make me nervous. That would make me very nervous. Because if for some reason you have to sell, or better yet, you were planning on selling, look, everybody thinks, oh, gee, you know, I'm buying a house today. Certainly, it's not going to go down in value. Folks, I've lived through three downturns. Years ago, when I worked at Merrill Lynch, and you know, we're in the relocation business, the market in Texas, which by the way, today is booming, the market in Texas was so bad that there were condominium developments, half finished, that literally got bulldozed. There was a time, you know, where we had homes in inventory because we used to buy transferring employees' homes then. They do today too, relocation companies. We do, as a matter of fact. And we had so many houses in inventory that if it was in Texas, if you bought one of our homes, we would give you a condo that we had in inventory. It was so bad, the markets. And so I have seen dismal real estate markets, and I have seen people really, really, really get hurt in dismal real estate markets. This is a great time if you're a seller right now to sell your home, because you're going to get top dollar. You're going to get even more than you probably listed for. So in that sense, it's terrific timing if you're a seller. It is not terrific timing if you're a buyer, and particularly first-time home buyers, they're really out of luck because they're competing with people, in some cases, who are cash buyers or who can put 50% or more down. And if you're going in with an offer at only 3, 4, 5%, 10% down, your offer is not even going to be considered in a seller's market. The seller is going to go toward the all-cash buyer, which there's a lot of investors in the marketplace today buying homes, paying all cash. Well, you're not going to compete with that all cash buyer, because that all cash buyer can close with no contingencies in 30 days. And if you're a first time home buyer, you're pretty much out of the market. You probably should sit it out and wait for prices to come down. Look, at some point, the demand will catch up with the supply, or the supply will catch up with the demand. And when that happens, you have equilibrium, meaning there are as many people in the marketplace looking to buy homes as there are people looking to sell homes. And then you have some leverage. Now, if you get to a point where there are more sellers in the marketplace than buyers, that then becomes a buyer's market. In that environment, then you can negotiate price and terms, and you can get a better deal. But right now, we are in an extreme seller's market in most parts of the country. Property values have gone through the roof. Homes are worth more today than they've been in years. which is an indication of the inflation. Part of it is, in addition to the supply and demand issue, it's that interest rates are so low, mortgage interest rates are so low, that in some cases it's cheaper to buy than it is to rent. And when that happens, people jump into the market. And so, you know, we're looking at this, but I would just caution buyers today to be very careful. And here's the deal. And this is true no matter when you buy a home. Location, location, location. Make sure you buy in an area with a great location. Let's start there. Number two, buy in areas with great schools. Even if you have no children, you can check the great schools rating. It's a rating system. And I would not buy in a school district or in an area where the school that's in your neighborhood has a score of less than 8 out of 10. Because at the end of the day, even if you don't have children that are going to go to public schools, somebody who might buy your home in the future would have children. And they look for great areas, you know, with great schools. Just recognize that in real estate, there are no bargains. If you're getting a bargain, I can tell you there's something wrong with the house. It's on a busy street. It's too near a busy street. It's got power lines that you can see close by. It's too near commercial development, shopping centers, or, you know, now people want to be near shopping, but they don't want to live next door to it because you get noise from that. And so if you think you're getting a bargain, I can almost guarantee you one of the factors that negates value is getting you that bargain. It's too near commercial property. It's not in a good location. It's not in a good school district. It's in a neighborhood where other properties are very run down, even if the one you're buying is nice. And that's one thing, too, just to keep in mind here, folks. If you're going to buy a home and the houses around you are run down, even if the one you're buying is nice, I would think twice, because at the end of the day, if the neighbors are not keeping up their home, I'm not so sure I want to live next door to somebody who's not keeping up their property, because it will depreciate your property. And so remember, if you buy crap, you own crap. You never want to buy crap in real estate. Well, we're out of time for this week, folks, but I hope you'll join me next week again for more CEO Business Mind.
Are you planning to move? Paragon Home Resources can help you sell or buy a home anywhere in the United States. We provide a home resources coordinator to manage all aspects of your move. We recommend qualified real estate agents and other services to prepare your home for sale. Best of all, if you sell or buy a home with our assistance, you could be eligible to receive a tax-free real estate commission cash reward. We can also help you obtain a mortgage at competitive interest rates. Our lenders offer fixed and adjustable rates, conforming and non-conforming loans, plus FHA and VA financing. We can also assist first-time buyers with as little as 5% down. And when it comes time to move, we can refer you to qualified movers or other companies to assist with self-moves. Paragon Home Resources helps make moving as easy as possible. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.